Please stand. Let's turn to Psalms 4, please. Says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after lacing, Selah? Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Abode lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day, another time that we can come and just bow down and just listen to your words as put in our pastor to bring it this morning. A place of refuge we can come to get away from the world, dear Lord God. Pray that you bless the people as they come this morning. And just thank you for another place we can come and just hear the truth, dear Jesus. So much foolishness that is heard outside there, but you have put us in a place where we can hear nothing but the truth. We're so thankful. We ask now that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I sing glory to thank you. Lord, have your way in me once more. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Thank you, Jesus. What we all desire. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Let your glory fill this house. Let your glory fill this house. Glory fill this house. Oh Jesus, you are welcome. Let your glory fill this house. Let your love fill this house. Let your love fill this house. Oh, come in the house. Please come in the house. Jesus, you are welcome. Come in the house. Let your presence fill.
Take my breath away.
life into me. So breathe into me. Lord, breathe into me. So breathe into me. Once again, oh, and again, and again, oh, once again, oh, and again, and again, only you take my breath. Nobody else but you. Take my breath away, and you breathe new life into me. So breathe into me. Lord, breathe into me. Yes. So breathe into me. Once again. Oh, and again. And again. Oh. Once again, oh, and again, and again, oh, once again, and again, and again, once again. Oh, my God.
Up this morning, and many didn't get up today, dear Lord God, but you got us up, and we are here in your presence. We ask that you bless the people as they give from their hearts, dear Lord God. They're sure they all are aware of all you do in our lives and do for us. So may you bless them now as they give.
Yeah. Robles, Brother Leroy.
Song of my heart, our blessed assurance.
Amen. Sing with us.
I can't sing, but I do the best I could. I just love to worship God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hear our salvation. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, numbers on my side, angels descending, free from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and best, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long.
Amen.
Good morning and God bless. I'm going to share a song with you. It's an old song. And it's a song that was brought about during the time of slavery. And I have been, it's been on my heart, even in 2015, we are still somehow bound in slavery. And the reason why I say that is because I work in a job that in order for you to take time off for yourself and to be alone with God, other than being with him on Saturday and Sunday, you have to get permission. And I can't understand how I have to ask permission to be at my own home in order to serve the Lord in my own time. And also, there are some that are out there that have been hurt, and we seem to be bound by that hurt, and we can't get past it. And in that form, that is a form of slavery to our own selves. And we're also bound by those loved ones who are hurt, afflicted in their bodies by the evils of this world. And when I get to that point, my heart is just so heavy, and I feel like I can't press through. And I remember my mom always humming this song whenever she said trouble was in her way. And I'm going to share that song with you, because right now, that's what I need to do. I need to steal away to Jesus right now.
Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away to Jesus, steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me by the thunders, the trumpet sound within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus.
How many need to steal away to the Lord?
Steal away. Steal away. Steal away.
Amen. We don't have long to stay here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sister Leland. Next, we have Sister Rebecca.
God bless you. I was trying to figure out what to sing all week, so last night Sarah suggested this song. Don't know if I'll be able to do it justice, but if you know it, please join along and sing with me. I'm singing about the love of Jesus, which never fails and never gives up. So please join and sing with me if you know it. This one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it comes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I'll never ever have to be afraid, 'cause this one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. I know my debt 'Cause your love never fails, it never gives, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives, it never runs out on me. And on and on and on it comes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never, ever have to be afraid. 'Cause there's the one thing. Fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never runs out. Say your love never fails. It never runs, no matter what I do. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out. No matter where I go, no, it never gives up, it never runs. Even though I failed you, your love never fails, never gives up, runs out on me, yeah. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love is never ending, your love is never failing. It's your love, your love.
God, just think about those words. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. He never gives up, even when we want to give up. He's right there. Thank you, Jesus. Think about His goodness. Think about
grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above reigns dominion, let's sing it one more time. Think about his love, think about his goodness. Oh, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh yes, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your love, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just turn around and greet your neighbor this morning and say, God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. My, 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 my. You can be seated this morning. I wanted to just acknowledge all the specials this morning. Thank God for them. I believe I heard Brother Leroy and Brother Robles, and thank God for that. And Sister Wisdom and Sister Rebecca, amen. God bless you for your addition to the service there this morning. And I understand that Brother Wisdom wasn't feeling well, but he pressed his way through the worship service, and we thank God for touching his body, amen, allowing him just to kind of make it through. Amen. Amen. I say, I heard you're not feeling well, brother. They say, I'm feeling much better now. So, amen. I thank God for just touching our precious brother. I got a couple announcements that we want to make mention of. I got birthdays, amen, this week. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark and Brother Ernst, amen. They'll be celebrating a birthday on Wednesday. Amen. We thank God for giving them another year here on earth. God bless you, precious brothers. Amen. Tonight we'll be at Pinnacle Palms, 5:30 p.m. Tonight we'll be having service there. So, keep us in prayer as we go there, amen, for our outreach service, amen. Also, at Brother West Coast Church tonight, Brother Ron Lilly will be preaching. We went last night, and he did a wonderful job, amen, just kind of preaching there. And he just took a little subject, amen, about a reference point. You know, and as he was just preaching, my mind just began to just reflect on so many things. He said, reference points are something that doesn't change. You've got to be able to refer back to it, and it can't change. It's like when you're trying to go to somebody's house or something, they give you reference points. Turn at the barn or whatever. If that barn moves, that barn is no longer a reference point, right? And and he was just kind of tying it all back to the Word of God. The Word of God is our reference point for everything that we do. And amen, no matter what happens in life, we ought to be able to come back to the reference point.
amen, and get direction and instruction. And as he was just kind of talking through, talking through that on last week, last night, I just began to think about so many different things that happened at Brother West Coast Church and how it became a reference point to many of us. Just those walls going up in the church is a reference point to Brother Smiley. Amen. And, you know, and I just think back to those days when he walked into the church and he was there building on it, but he was a backslider, and Brother Wesco began to pray for him, and he came back to the Lord, and right there, amen, that Brother Smiley, his life changed, and in Brother Smiley at that time was Justin and Andrew and William and Christina and Nathan and Kevin. All of them were in Brother Smiley at that time, but they couldn't come forth until God put him in the right place. And, and every time we go back and we look at how God is using his family now just to be a blessing to the bride all over, we look at those walls there at that church and say it's a reference point for a life that was changed. And I was just sharing last night with them of the testimony of how, you know, we were giving and how I jumped down off the camera stand, and I walked up and just gave everything I had in my pocket. And so every time I go back and I look at that camera stand, it's a reference point for me that God made a way out of no way. And it just so many precious things just began to flow through my mind, and even thinking about when the Lord saved me. And Brother Lilly, I was talking to him on Friday night. I said, you know, you don't hear people talking too much about being saved anymore. Right, we need to know when God saved us. We need to be able to take people back to that spot. I know where things changed in my life. Right, whether you was in a church or wherever you was, you ought to know that God did something right there at that spot. Therefore, when the devil began to fight you in particular areas of your life, you can always take the devil back to your reference point. This is where God did it, Satan. Amen. This is where God changed my heart. This is where God came in and just did something mighty for me. So I've never been the same again. Yes, I've had some struggles, but I've been changed since that moment. Right? That's my reference point. So I tell you, it was just a real blessing last night. And I encourage you tonight, if you're able to be there, part of the service, I encourage you to do so there with Brother Wesco tonight, 6:30 for the service. We'll be back on Wednesday night for our Bible study, so keep that in mind. We'll be back here, but no service on this Friday night, but we will be here Wednesday night. So we just thank the Lord for, amen, last weekend. I wanted to just once again express my appreciation and my thanks for the church just really stepping up and doing everything that you did to make last weekend a success. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was told that we didn't go lacking in any areas. We had more than enough to kind of handle the needs. On Brother Solomon's job, they blessed him with some drinks. And, you know, and he had so much drink that we were able to give to Brother and Sister Wesco, give to their church as well. So they had drinks last night, and they're going to have drinks today. And, you know, we just had more than enough in so many areas. Even when it comes to, you know, the finances of the meetings, there's times where I've had to, you know, just kind of wait until, you know, the weekend of the meetings to see, you know, how we're going to be able to handle the finances. But even before we got to that point, God had met our need financially where we didn't have to worry about any of those things. So I knew the hand of the Lord was all over the meetings last weekend. And what I saw here with the church, our brothers stepped up. Amen. They look good. The brothers look real good. I was just so proud of how our brothers handled things. And not just here, but even when we went to Brother West Coast Church, the brothers were at their post of duty. And man, it was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. The sisters and, you know, just handling the food and everything. It was just, everything was just so perfect. And I'm very grateful. And I just want to say thank you to everyone and all your service and all the parts that you played in making last weekend what it was. Amen. So God richly, richly bless you. I want to thank the Lord also on today. I know it's Jonathan. I can't, the last name, Shelton. Brother Jonathan Shelton. So good to have him with us on today. Amen. Faith said he's invited by Sister Rachel and the Miss Wesco family. So we thank God for him. He works there next door. Y'all see him quite often there when y'all going to get something from Dollar General. And him working there, just years, I guess years ago, the families, was it schoolmates? Third grade that they knew each other. And they kind of reconnected when they saw each other there at the store. And I think a few weeks ago, he told my wife, "So I ain't got nothing to do on Sunday. I'm going to come see y'all." And my wife said, "Okay, just surprise us now." So he said, I promise you, I'm a surprise you. I'm going to come see you." And he kept his word, and he's here, amen, today. So God bless you, Brother Jonathan. Amen. Thank you so much for coming just to be a part of the service on today. Amen. Now, I know the face, but I forgot the name. But I believe Abel is the son, right? I got that much. Lucy, there it is. It came back. God bless you, Sister Lucy. So good to see you again. Amen. On today, Sister Rolande's friend there. So good to see her. So praise the Lord. Amen. We just appreciate the Lord Jesus. I'll let you all go. Thank y'all, musicians, for everything. Thank y'all so much. Amen. 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 All right, I'm going to read a scripture here today, and we'll just move forward here in the service of the Lord. Actually, I think I want to read two scriptures. We'll read 1 Timothy 4, just a couple verses there, and then also I'll read from Proverbs 14. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 4. And it reads as follows. Says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Amen. And these are very, very important words that Paul is writing here in the scripture. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, remember, there's only one faith, right? The scripture tells us there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who's Father of us all. So there's only one faith. Amen. And Paul warns, it says that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's pretty bad. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Let's turn over to Proverbs 14. Praise the Lord. Man, verse 12 here in Proverbs 14, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Amen. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be able to read the Bible. But Father, our prayer now is that the Holy Spirit will come and help us to understand the things that we are reading. And Lord, don't let us miss what you're trying to say to us in this hour. We pray that you just have your way, God, in this portion of service. Thank you for all that you have done thus far. And now, God, we just commit the preaching of the word into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to take for our subject today, seducing spirits. Amen. Seducing spirits. think it's very important that we just kind of deal a little bit with this, amen, on today. I looked up the word seducing, and some of the definitions that are provided are wandering, roving, misleading, and leading into error, right? Wandering, roving, misleading, leading into error. It also says this, a vagabond, which is also known as a tramp, an imposter, corrupter, a deceiver. And typically a person that's a vagabond or a tramp, they have nowhere that they can go and call as home. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Paul makes it very clear here Paul makes it very clear that in the latter times, right, in latter times that people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits would actually create multiple things, you know, and as far as actions that you'd see in people's lives, there'll be multiple things that you'd be able to see. Amen. One is just roving. Right, and a seducing spirit will have you to rove. What pretty much you'll never get settled anywhere. Come on, somebody, amen. You'll never get settled anywhere, and God doesn't want us to be that way. God doesn't want us roving from here to there. We got to find a place that we're settled. And you know, I mean, you just think about sometimes when you have that happen, and you've seen that in different families where you know the father maybe was in the military, and the family get, you know, they placed here for a little bit, and then they get uprooted from there, and then they placed over here, then they get uprooted from there, and then they get placed over here, and then they get uprooted from there. And what happens is those kids are never really able to develop true relationships. And eventually, because they're not able to develop those true relationships, when it's time for them to get married or, you know, get into a relationship with a spouse, typically their marriages are falling apart. Right, because they've never been able to really develop true friendships and things of that nature. So you know, you got to find a place where you can just kind of get settled, right? I mean, and typically, what happens with when a father sees that happen to his family, he tries to find a place that is, you know what? I might take another tour of duty, but I'm gonna leave my family here because I want them to be placed somewhere. Right, I want them to be settled somewhere. I need them to be, you know, to be stable. I don't want my family to be unstable. And it's the same thing it is with God. We don't want to be found unstable when it comes to God. Come on now. The Bible says that a double-minded man is, I mean, he's unstable in all his ways. So at some point in time, we got to become stable in God. Come on, hallelujah. We got to be committed to the Lord. Amen. And God, I'm going to serve you right here. And I'm not going to be roving and wandering and amen and not tied to nothing. Yeah. Come on. I mean, if you get into a storm on the sea or something like that and your ship ain't tied to something, you don't know where you'll end up. Yeah. Right? Because you have no sense, no compass, nothing to tie you, to keep you tied down. You need an anchor in this hour. Hallelujah, you got to have an anchor, and granted, the anchor is Christ. We realize that the anchor is Christ, but as a people, amen, we got to find, you know, not just, you know, because even, you know, when I use this, when I looked up this definition, wandering, roving, and all of that, you know, you see that just manifested in people in this day, and yet your anchor is Christ, but if you're anchored in Christ, you also ought to be an anchor to Christ's people. You know, I put out a statement here just recently. I was reading a little book, and you know, they were just, you know, this guy was just really going through and just kind of sharing some things, because one of the reasons people don't get connected is they look in the church and they say, you know, look at all the fake people. You know, look at this person and look at that person. They do this and they do that, and you know, and that's the reason I can't get connected, because of them. You know, and in the book, the man challenged, say, look, you know, rather than you focusing on the people that's making all the mistakes, why don't you come and be an example? Right. Amen. Huh? Rather than you focusing, I mean, you can see what they're doing wrong. So since you know what to do right, why don't you come to the church and be the example for everybody else? Amen. Stop pointing your finger at everyone, but now you come be the example to everybody else.
right? Because the church is full of people that just found grace. We all sinners that are still, that we found grace and we're still trying to strive towards perfection. Amen. None of us perfect in here. We're striving towards perfection, right? But, you know, but a lot of times we point fingers and say, well, this is why I came. No. You're roving. You've given heed to a seducing spirit that's causing you to rove and not be planted in the house of God. You know, the Bible says those that's planted in the house of God, they're the ones that's going to flourish. Oh, my God. A vagabond, a tramp, an imposter, right? Corrupter, deceiver. We don't want to be that way. We want to be stable when it comes to the things of God. Also, a seducer is a false teacher, and we're going to get into that as we go deeper into, you know, this thought for today. But you know, seducing spirits. We can see this so plainly, amen, from some of the natural types that we could kind of provide, and one that I just starting right out of the gate, the first two humans that were on the earth were Adam and Eve. And, you know, we see a big problem happen there in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, that particular issue where Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. Amen. And we know by revelation that it was not a physical fruit that Eve ate. We realized that it could not be an apple. It could not be an apricot. It could not be any physical fruit that would have brought forth a pregnancy. Amen. That's not. Amen. If any church is teaching that church is teaching wrong. It's no way a physical fruit could have did that. Eve partook of adultery in the Garden of Eden. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? But Eve, you know, when we read the story there in Genesis 3, we find that Eve was beguiled. Amen. Or a serpent beguiled Eve. And another word for that would be that the serpent seduced Eve. The servant had an ulterior motive for why he was presenting the information that he did present to Eve. He had an ulterior motive. And a lot of times when people are being seduced, they have no idea what this other person's ulterior motive is. Right? Amen. Sometimes Eve actually felt that she was doing right. She thought she was doing something right. And even in thinking that she was doing something right, she was deceived. She was seduced. And that's why the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When she partook of this fruit, look at the funerals that we have to go to today. Look at the pain that we feel in our body. Look at the way children are born and the way that the mother has to go through labor pains and all that. All of that happened because of one thing that somebody did wrong in the beginning. Hallelujah. If not following all of God's word in the beginning led to death, amen, if it did that in the beginning, it's going to do the exact same thing in the end. We must follow everything God said. Don't allow the enemy to seduce us in this hour. Adam willfully walked out, amen, of his position. Adam willfully walked into this sin, amen, that Eve introduced to him. Adam willfully did that, showing that it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who willfully left his throne in heaven to come and identify himself with sinful man, to go to a cross to die for our sins. God willingly did that through Jesus Christ, his son. The same way Adam willfully got involved with Eve. He knew that when God came down in the cool of the evening, Eve could have been destroyed. But because Adam connected with Eve, amen, if God would have destroyed Eve, he would have also had to destroy Adam. My God, my God. Thank God for the perfect type that Adam did there in the beginning. But Eve herself was deceived. She was seduced. She fell prey to a seducing spirit. Samson. Everybody's read his story. Amen. And if you haven't read, but Samson was a man that was ordained of God to destroy Philistines. And as Samson was raised for this very purpose, you know, the problem with Samson is that he knew what God called him to do. He went down and God gave him supernatural strength to do these things, beat down 1,000 Philistines one time with one jawbone. And I mean, it was a dead animal, and he took the jawbone of the dead animal, and Philistines had him surrounded. This man rose up with a jawbone that once he hit the helmet of one of the Philistines, that jawbone should have cracked. It should have broke. But God supernaturally anointed this man to take the jawbone and strike 1,000 men. One man beat 1,000. I mean, you try that today. I mean, if God did not anoint you, you'd be wiped out. Right? But God anointed this man to destroy Philistines. That was his purpose. Look, you were raised up. You were born to destroy devils. Don't let devils destroy you. Amen. There is no reason for you to be defeated. Right? God ordained you to destroy devils. Hallelujah. Some of the things that God delivered you from, some people can't come out of them lifestyles. But God ordained you to destroy them devils. And so why are you going to fall prey to them same old devils that God ordained you to destroy? Don't be seduced by the devil. Come on, somebody. But here Samson was, you know, raised up to destroy these Philistines and, amen, destroy these devils that were surrounding him. And many a times God would use him in so many mighty ways. There were the Philistines and, you know, and they were afraid of Samson. They were afraid, but Samson just kind of kept playing with the devil. And when he started playing with the devil, eventually Samson got to a spot where he fell prey to this lady, Delilah, and just so that you know, Delilah was not his first wife. Amen. Delilah was his second wife. He had another wife that, you know, when he went to get her, the father had given the young lady over to somebody else, and Samson got upset, and he got so upset that he took some foxes. And tied their tails together and set them on fire and went them out, sent them out in the field and just destroyed the people's harvest. Now, you know, we think about Shamgar and how, you know, he used to have his harvest destroyed by the army coming in. But now Samson got them on terror. Yeah, right. God reversed that thing. Right? Samson had them on terror. And, you know, and there he, you know, now he should have known right then when he had this problem with the first wife. That he should not have been down there in the land of Philistine giving heed to seducing spirits. He shouldn't have been down there. Oh, my God. Look, I mean, we can't play with the devil. Don't think that you can outsmart the devil. Come on, church. I'm trying to say a few things here. But, you know, Samson can't go play with the Philistine ladies and don't think that them spirits of the Philistines not going to get off on him. You can't convert a Philistine. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Amen. A Philistine going to be a Philistine. And an Israelite going to be an Israelite. Come on, somebody. The bride going to be the bride, but the church going to always be the church. You can't convert them. So don't give heed to seducing spirits. Amen. It's the same thing today. You know, even, you know, I just got to bring these things out. Y'all, you know, just bear with me. But when a young man go get a young lady and try to bring her into the church, right? If he gives heed to seducing spirit, if she really not see, that lady would pull him right out of the church. Oh, my God, my God. Amen. I know what I'm saying. That's why the Bible tell you not to be unequally yoked. Right, I mean, the Solomon was a great man of God, but he gave heed to seducing spirits, and he got married to ladies that he should not have been married to. And this great man that started out so powerful and so anointed eventually was in a total backslidden state. And that spirit, I mean, these spirits do not die; they live today. So, young men, when you're looking for a wife, stay in the church. Right? Young lady, when you're looking for a husband, stay in the church. Don't go out there and get a Philistine and try to bring them into the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord anyway, church. Amen. I mean, these things don't work. We see story after story in the scripture where these things do not work. Amen. All right, stay with me here today. But Samson, we see him, you know, he gave heed to seducing spirit. That was the first lady that he come in contact with. You know, he should have took a warning for that. But Samson went right back down. After he lost that wife, he went right back down and found another wife. Now, you know, before he found Delilah, Samson was found in a really, really bad position. Samson was found at the house of a harlot. Come on. Now, I mean, as a son of God, he should have never been down there in the first place. But here's Samson in, I mean, because of the lust that he has in his heart, he's giving heed to these seducing spirits. He's down there having a relationship with a harlot. And them Philistines surrounded Samson, and they say, you know, tonight we're going to get him. I mean, tonight is going to be over for Samson. God still anointed that man that even in that sinful condition, he rose up, took the fence that they surrounded him with, took the fence and put it on his back and went running down the hill. They could not capture Samson. Amen. Hallelujah. You think about all the things that God done pulled you out of. You think about some of the places that you have been and God has rescued you. Why you keep going down there to some them seducing spirits? Amen. Hallelujah. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hallelujah. Samson finally got what he wanted. He got what he wanted. Amen. But when he got what he wanted, he realized he didn't want what he had. Come on, somebody. He got what he wanted, but he realized he didn't want what he had. Right? And he got Delilah. But Delilah was seducing him all the time. Man, using her beauty, you know, and all of this, he just falling more and more in love. And finally she comes and say, you know, Samson, you know, I mean, you say you love me and all of this, but you won't tell me where your great strength is. Samson, you won't give me that. You won't share with me where your great strength is. You know, we supposed to be soulmates, right? You're supposed to be sharing your heart with me. I'm giving you my heart. Why don't you give me your heart, Samson, right? And as they're just kind of working through these conversations, come on, so you can't talk with the devil. Look, you ain't going to convert no devil, I'm telling you. But the devil will sure convert you. And let me just put it this way. The devil cannot be converted. So ain't no sense in you trying to talk with the devil. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. They want to go to church, give them the business card. Give them a business card. This is the address. Oh, well, why don't you come pick me up? Well, how they got to where they at right now? Huh? Did they take a bus to get to where they at right now? Let them take a bus to get to church. Amen. Don't play with the devil. Amen. Amen. You can't give heed to seducing spirits. Amen. Ooh, I want to go into this today. I tell you. But, you know, here's Samson. You know, she just working with them, working them over. And finally, Samson, you know, say, look, all right, I'll tell you what. I, if you do this, then I'll be just like any other man. You bind me with some cords, I'd be just like any other man. And here she bound him up with the cords. And, you know, when she bound him up with the cords, she say, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And Samson say, you know, he wake up from laying in her lap. And when he woke up, all the Philistines had him surrounded. And he bust out the cords. And when he bust out the cords, he realized he still had the power of God. The Philistines realized he still had the power of God. But then Philistines told Delilah, said, now don't you play with us. You better make sure you get the secret because we don't want no more Philistines dying. And what you just did, you did not get the truth. Right? Samson had no idea these conversations were taking place. Hallelujah. You don't know how the devil's setting you up. So you be careful of these seducing spirits. Now, I'm trying my best. I want to share this naturally with you. But the devil still works spiritually as well. That same devil that's trying to bind you up naturally is the same devil trying to bind you up spiritually. And let me tell you, to be spiritually bound is worse than being naturally bound. Amen. Giving heed to seducing spirits in the spiritual realm is a much worse thing than what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Samson. Amen. Much worse. But here, you know, Delilah, from you know, look, Samson, you told me this and that's not what happened. You bust right out of that. What really is the secret? Well, if you do this and you do that, and then I'll be just like the other one. Well, she did it. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Samson, it's just a game. It wasn't a game. She was coming for her strength. Amen. And let me tell you something this morning. The devil is coming for your strength. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. See, Delilah represent the church. Delilah being a woman, the woman always represent the church in the scripture. And there are churches that are coming for your strength. Let me say it again. There are churches or people in those churches that are coming for your strength. And the best thing that Samson could have did, is get up and run out of there. That's the best thing that Samson could have did. Get up and run out of there. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, the Bible actually talked about, you know, very dangerous times coming in 2 Timothy 3. And the scripture told us in 2 Timothy 3, 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power of love, from such turn away. Look, you can't convert everybody. You can try, but when you realize that they have a conscience seared like iron, that's when it's time for you to get up and run away. If you keep playing with that Delilah, eventually Delilah going to take your strength. Woo. I know what I'm talking about. If you keep playing with that false revelation, eventually that false revelation is going to take your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. If you keep looking at the negative stuff that's out there on the internet, and some of those things, amen, they're intentionally putting that there to try to zap your strength. You can't keep entertaining that, Delilah, because Delilah will take your strength from you. You will fall heed to seducing spirits. Come on, somebody. Finally, Delilah gets Samson. So, you know, what's really the secret? You done embarrassed me a couple times already, Samson. I thought you really loved me. Say, look, I'll tell you what. If you would just cut my hair. You cut my hair. That'll be it. And once you cut my hair, I really will be just like other men. I got a Nazirite vow. And this Nazirite vow, I'm not supposed to cut my hair. Can I say something? Sisters, all of y'all are under Nazirite vow. And as a sister, according to the scripture, you're not supposed to cut your hair. Brothers, according to scripture, you're supposed to cut your hair. Amen. A man should not be walking around here with dreads. Hair way down, you know, here. You can't tell from the back whether it's a man or a woman. That should not be. That is against the word of God. A man is supposed to cut his hair, but a woman is not supposed to cut hair. And we got this thing all mixed up now. Y'all look at it. It's in the world today. Seducing spirits. Right? Seducing spirits. Here, a woman want to have her hair cut as low as a man. Looking like a man. You can't even tell. Like brother Ward said last week, say I was sitting next to him for I don't know how many hours on the plane. I still could, at by the time I got off the plane, I still did not know. Was this a woman or was this a man? I had no idea. It shouldn't be that way. Sometimes you have to do triple and quadruple takes. You don't know what you're looking at. Right? I mean, those are seducing spirits that the people are giving heed to in this hour. Right? I mean, they have no, and that's why we got to be, you know, we got to stay with this word, church. It's just got to be the word. So, you know, here Samson has his hair cut by Delilah. And when he has his hair cut by Delilah, we see, you know, there in the scripture that Samson, you know, when she finally says, Samson, the Philistines are praying, this time he rose up. And when he rose up, he didn't have the strength that he thought that he would have. And church, unfortunately, this is what's happening to churches today. They, you know, they're trying to rise up now, but all their strength has been taken from them. They don't have the strength that they thought they used to have. They don't have the power that they thought they used to have. In order to get that power, you're going to have to go into prayer. You're going to have to do some repenting. And after you go through some repenting and God see your true brokenness, then he'll restore that power again. You can stand like Samson once more, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We can see these things. Naturally, I want to read a scripture here out of Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs 7. Praise the Lord. For young men and amen, this is something that I think every young man needs to take heed to. Don't give heed to seducing spirits because they exist even today. Solomon gave us some great wisdom here in Proverbs chapter 7. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I want to go a little further with this. I want to turn a corner on you eventually to a spiritual, amen, type of this, but let's just catch it naturally. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live in my law as the apple of thine eye. Keep the word of God in front of you, no matter what you're doing. Love the word of God. Amen. Look, let me tell you something about the word of God. Even though the word of God might say, we can't do this and we can't do that, I'm going to tell you, that's not law to me. That's love. Amen. And I receive it as love. I thank God for him telling me the things that are pleasing in his sight. Yeah. Right? The Bible says the commandments of God are not grievous to us. Right. Amen. We actually enjoy this. We love this. Listen, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So you need to, you got to recognize that Satan always has a plan, right? I mean, Samson was completely void of what was getting ready to happen. Now, he should have caught it when the Philistines surrounded him that many times. He should have caught it, right? But, here, he even though he was there in the situation, maybe he thought that he'd always overcome somehow. Don't do that. Don't give heed to seducing spirits. Listen, he says, and I beheld among the simplest, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Right, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Now, when this young man runs into her, he might think, my, the woman of my dreams. But for her, she had a plan all the time. And this young man, I mean, there's a way that seemed right. Right? Maybe he thought, I've been praying for a wife, and finally I got one. The devil will send you somebody. Amen. The devil will get, young lady or young man, the devil will send you somebody. You got to wait and make sure that they are from God. Woo! Glory to his name. Listen, say, and so she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, I mean, she wasn't even ashamed about what she was doing. And when we read this scripture, we're going to see this lady shouldn't even been out there. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You better know what you're getting involved with. You know, people nowadays, they won't even put on their wedding rings. And that's the first thing you look for. You married? I ain't going to mess with no married person. Well, a lot of people nowadays won't even put on their wedding rings. They refuse to wear it. That way, you don't know whether they married or not married. And hey, you think you done found somebody. Come on, y'all. I'm talking. Sisters. It's seducing spirits, y'all. I can't really preach this the way I want to. I'm going to just have to talk to you. But it's seducing spirits. You watch what you get involved with online. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here you got a online relationship. You ain't never met this person. And that picture that you see in online may not be them. Right. And you fall in love with something that might not even be the person that you think it is. Right. Oh, God. But I mean, there's even in this message, you got to be careful. You know why? Because there's people, even in this message, there's some guys that come from other countries that believe some really strange things. And what they believe that they can have multiple wives. There was a story here. I'm going to just share this with you. Seducing spirits is my thought today. This brother, came over here, man, he had a nice car, and he was at a church, and see, this is what I say about roving and all this. He was at a church, and man, he was doing all right, on fire, amen, praise the Lord. Then he moved from that church to another church, and nobody really got a chance to really know him for who he was. So one day he shows up in a church, and he come, and he met this young lady. He's like, oh man, I'd like to get to know her. I really like to get to know her a little bit better. So the parents, they start to get to know the young man and say, okay, all right, he seemed okay. But then the pastor's like, I don't know too much about this. I'm not sure. Not sure about this one. So, he'd come back and forth, and, man, he would rent a nice car. Thank you. You caught it. He'd rent a nice car. Well, he'd come driving up, and you're thinking, boy, this guy is rolling. That guy rented that car. All right? And he rolling. He rolling up there in this nice rented car, and get out with some nice clothes on, and man, he just talking, and the sister just kind of falling head over heels for him. Pastor started doing some research. Come to find out, the man had a wife in the country that he was from. He was a married man, not divorced. He was already married, but they believed that they could have multiple wives. So he was coming to have a wife in the U.S. as well as have his wives back in the other country that he was from. That's why you got to be, it's seducing spirits. That's why you got to be very, very careful. And, you know, you got to be prayerful and careful. You have no idea what you're getting involved with sometimes. Amen. Don't throw your feelings all out on the internet. You can't trust the internet. Help us, Lord. Seducing spirits. Look, this man here, let's pick him up here in the scripture. Because Solomon has given us some fair warning. Verse 13 says, so she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. My God, my God. Now you know, that'll just probably melt any man when he hear, I've been praying for a man like you. What? Me? Yes, you. That's a setup. And don't you fall heed to that seducing spirit. Young lady, when that young man say the same thing, don't you fall heed to that. Amen. You've been praying for me? You sure me? You sure me? Because you really don't know me. You're going to get to know me. And when you get to know me, I'm going to take you right back to that comment that you just made, that you was praying for me. All right, church. Come on. Amen. You got to know what you're walking into. Listen. Say, I have peace offerings with me this day. I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Just set this fella up. Set him up. And can I just, y'all making me preach and say things I ain't want to say. You just met them. Can I just, you just met them. And they talk about inviting you to their bed? Something wrong somewhere. Huh? Don't give heed to that seducing spirit. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Let me go on. He says, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. That should have been another red flag right there. Who is the good man? The man should ask, who is the good man? Right? The good man was her husband. He should have known this was a relationship that was going nowhere. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Look at it. Oh, my God. For the good man is not at home. He is going on a long journey. He have taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Look, we talked about this. You need character. Husband, when you leave home, you need to know your wife ain't out doing this type of stuff. Huh? Amen. And even when the husband on a trip, the wife need to know he ain't out there doing that type of stuff. Well, I'm on a business trip. My wife is miles away, hours away. It'd take days to get here. Seducing spirits. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Said, he have taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she calls him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Amen. He just running with everything out, just like Samson, right? Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. See, there's a way that seem right, but the ways thereof were the ways of death. Young ladies, the same thing can happen to you. And I'm gonna turn a corner in a second, but you know, we talk about young men just falling prey to seducing spirits, but young ladies, it can happen to you.
If you all get a chance, I want you to go back and read the story, amen, in 2 Samuel, I believe, where it talks about Tamar. Right? And Tamar was just doing her duty. A brother Amnon, and I, you know, I hate to have to use words like that, but if I could, you know, maybe I can apply it to the church, right? Because her brother Amnon caused David, you know, the father of both of these kids. They had different mothers, but the brother Amnon said, you know, look, I really love my sister. He was lusting after. Say, I really love my sister. And you know what? I would like for her to come to my house and. You know, and I'm sick. He was playing, acting like he was sick. You know, I just need somebody to come in here and fix a little meal for me. And, you know, and now if you need somebody to fix a meal, why can't it just be anybody? Why he got to ask for Tamar? Would you let Tamar come and fix my food for me, Daddy? Sure, son, go ahead. And she go in there and she baking brownies and doing all kind of stuff. Man, she just got this thing all set up. And she preparing the meat for Amnon, and as she's preparing, Amnon put everybody out. And when he got her alone, then Amnon forced himself upon his sister. She was seduced into this. She was tricked into this, right? And young ladies, the same thing happens to you. And you know, that's why, you know, I say I'm going to type this over to the brother because, you know, really we say, man, a brother and a sister, well, back in those days, those things happen. It shouldn't happen today. But in the church world, we got brothers and sisters sitting right in here. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Amen. We got brothers and sisters sitting right in the house of God. And if the brother ain't got the right spirit, he better pull one of those tricks too. You be careful of that seducing spirit. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Spiritually, you be careful. Amen. I want to just bring this home, amen, today. Just I want to bring a spiritual type into this. I made a little note to myself. Spiritual seduction is worse than anything. And one of the people that I want to use as a type of spiritual seduction was Korah. Korah was one who believed a false revelation. And amen, he thought that God had a different way of dealing with his people outside of the way he was dealing with them through his vindicated prophet. Right, Korah had this revelation, and Korah began to just kind of spread this and share this in the camp of the Israelites. Y'all stay with me here. I want to just kind of read a little something for you. Oh my God, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna go to number 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you would just also line up the quote, why I'm against organized religion. Number 16 is where I want to read from today. Oh, my God. Seducing spirits. They still exist today. We can see it all naturally. And I pray you catch that. And I pray you take those warnings today. But it also happens spiritually. I want you to be careful of that in this hour. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in this particular passage, if we just kind of catch this, maybe number 16, let's start at verse 5. It says, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy children, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us? Now, I want y'all to catch that, what he just said. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Remember, they were in Egypt, right? They were in bondage. They were slaves, right? And they say they was in a land flowing with milk and honey. They had not even seen milk and honey, right? But, you know, oftentimes the devil try to make it seem to us that it's better in the world. Come on, church, don't go back to the world. And if I can also say it this way, it's not better in denomination. It's better in the message of the hour. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take you back. Well, go back to where? Go back to what? And let me just also make this clear. It's always happened, and every day there's always somebody thinking about going back. Come on. It happened in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, I mean, after he came with a revelation and didn't explain it. Jesus preached a message one Sunday. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And the church heard that and said, they had told us that this man was off his mind. He done lost his mind. Now he talk about being a vampire. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm going to eat nobody flesh and drink nobody blood. They couldn't even wait for church to be over. I can see them in the pews. And I mean, there was 82 people in church. 82. And you know, out of 82, 70 did like this. And Jesus saw him walking out. And when Jesus saw him walking out, he just stood at the door and just opened and just let him go. Okay, y'all, praise the Lord. I'm not even going to explain what I just said. And then after 12 was left in church, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, will you also go? Will you go? Peter, the only one that was bold enough to say something, say, go where? Jesus, go where? Say, only you got the words of eternal life. Say, I'm identified with Peter. In all my mistakes, I'm still identified with Peter. Oh, my God, right? I mean, Peter said, I ain't going nowhere. And that's the way I feel about this message. I ain't going nowhere. Now, and if they had him in Jesus' day walking out, they're going to have him in our day walking out. You know why? Because men are going to give heed to seducing spirits. They're going to lead the truth. And they walked out, they left, and, you know, Jesus said, will you also go? Said, no, you know, only you got the words of eternal life. Jesus said, that sound good. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. There's 12 of y'all left, but one of y'all is still a devil. They all said, man. Here we standing with you, Jesus. All them just left. You still going to call one of us a devil? That's right. You still a devil. And eventually, Judas gave heed to a seducing spirit. You know, the spirit that got Judas? Money. You know, money will get people today. Or you let somebody offer them a little bit more money. You know, pastors change churches because of money. Seducing spirits. Let's just finish reading this. They thought it was better going back. They thought it was better leaving the truth, right? They thought it was better leaving God's provided way of sending them a prophet. Moses had been thoroughly vindicated, but yet they thought that they had something better. Look at it. What verse am I on? Verse 13. It says this. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou shalt not brought us, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth. Now, see, this is why that conscience seared with iron. Can I just, you know, look, there's people that, you know, I'm trying my best to just kind of work this. But there's saints today that's going to have this conscience seared with iron. You can't get nothing across to them. You know what? They want to believe a lie so bad. I mean, anything that you present to them that might shake the foundation, they don't even want to consider it. But you remember the scripture tell you from such turn away. Amen, church. Look at it. See? Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. He says, we will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them. And bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each one of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Verse 20 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, said, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now, if we are going and continue to read, we'll see that Moses gave them the opportunity. Many of them got up and they left. And if we read further scripture, we'll see that even their sons, Dathan's sons, I mean Korah's sons, got up and left their daddy sitting right there. Daddy, I don't believe it. God vindicated Moses, but he didn't vindicate you. I'm going with what Moses said. Now, I want to tell you these things because, you know, you're going to have to make some choices. There are seducing spirits that are happening in this last day. And you got to find some, I mean, you got to line things up with this word of God so that you don't find yourself seduced or deceived by what the devil is doing in this hour. The worst seduction is spiritual seduction. I want to read something here out of Why I'm Against Organized Religion. God had chosen Moses and God had chosen Aaron, and it was the message of the day. And no matter how good the other side looked, see, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. No matter how good the other side looked, it was contrary to God's thinking. And we've got to let God's thinking be our thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And this Bible reveals the mind of Christ. And the whole book of Revelations called the Apocalypse is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can see how he condemns the thing, how he takes it to one side. And we'll get to it after a bit. All right. Look at this. Korah, I believe he was sincere in his act. I believe the man didn't mean to do wrong. I believe it was the ignorance of the man that didn't see the hand of God moving and know the scriptures. Now I want to break in there for a little bit. You all will see things on the, and brother was telling me he saw something on the internet, man, and you know somebody was kind of coming against the message and talking about how bad it was and how, you know, this and how that and how, you know, whatever. He said, man, they just began to cry tears. How did they just say I was in so much bondage in the message? No, you weren't in bondage in the message. You were in bondage in Egypt. You're not in bondage in the message, right? This message is not law. This message is love, yeah. Right? And you know, and all this stuff. I mean, and so, you know, they just in just tears and just, you know, just I mean, very sincere with their approach. And I've talked to people that, you know, and they're saying things like, you know what? I don't want to be wrong. I don't want, I mean, the scripture talk about there being a great fall in the way. I don't want to fulfill that scripture. I don't want to be the one that have my heart seared with iron. I don't want to be that. But you know what? Somebody's going to be that. In this last day, there's going to be some that's going to fulfill that. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits. The same type that I use with Samson is the same thing I want to give you. Don't keep having these conversations with Delilah. Delilah would take your strength from you. If you don't know where you stand, you better just pray until God give you a revelation. But don't get caught up in some of these conversations where you can't defend yourself. Oh my God. There Samson end up in a situation where he really didn't know how to defend himself. He shouldn't have been down there in the first place. Certain places you can't go visit. And if you do go, don't go by yourself. You better go with an army of people. Because if you go by yourself, they'll single you out. That brother was telling me just the other day how, I'm coming back to this. He had a nice dog. Man, he was talking about this brother had a nice dog. Man, that dog grew up in their family very, 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 it become part of the family. You know how it is, you get pets like that. But one day, the dog was in the yard just being a dog. And this wolf came running through, the yard. And the wolf had a reason for running through that yard. The wolf said, he took off running, and that dog said, ain't nobody going to come on my territory. And that dog took off running after that wolf. And he caught up with him. But when he caught him, there was an ambush waiting for the dog. There was about 15 other wolves that had surrounded him. And that dog became lunch. Some places you just can't go running into. The Bible actually tells you from such, turn away. Come on. Certain conversations you can't go getting yourself involved with because there are seducing spirits. And you have no idea what people trying to seduce you into. Just like Samson had no idea what Delilah was doing to him, taking his strength. Church, don't let it happen to you. Be extremely careful in this hour. As a pastor, I got to stop and just kind of share it just like this. Be extremely careful in this hour. The devil has seducing spirits. The only way you're going to know whether it's truth is got to line up with the word of God. Amen. If it's not in the word, you let it go. Amen. And there's some people sincere. The unfortunate thing is they're sincerely wrong. Yeah. I believe it was the ignorance of the man that didn't see the hand of God moving, and to know the scriptures. That's key. You got to know the scriptures. The Bible actually says people are ever learning, never coming into the knowledge of the truth. You can go from Bible study to Bible study, and there are certain things they'll never touch. I'm sitting here just working with the young people on the particular scripture here, let me just read it here. 2 Timothy 3. I'm just reading, and I'm coming back here. I've been working with the young people on this, but I want you all to be very, very aware of the time and hour in which we live in. Don't rove, don't roam. Find a place, get rooted, get grounded in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Amen. You need to know where your church home is. A vagabond don't have no house to go to. But don't be a spiritual vagabond. Where's your house? Where do you dwell? Right? You need to know where my house is. Praise the Lord. Here, 2 Timothy 3, it says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That means dangerous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'd rather watch a football game, a basketball game, than go to church. That lets you know where people's heart is. They love the things of the world more than they love the things of God. Amen. Look, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And typically, the problem is what we have a lot of times, sisters fall prey to a lot of stuff. And you know how they fall prey? I'm going to tell you just straight like it is. If you find somebody that's going to agree with what you want to do, it's easy for you to just fall prey with that. But, I told people this. People, when they tell you, I don't understand who Brother Branham is. You don't understand. This is pretty simple. God sent a prophet, according to Malachi chapter 4 and according to Revelation 10. That's all God said he was doing, and God did it. And it happened to be Brother Branham. That's very simple. That ain't nothing difficult about that at all. When we say we don't understand, it's like we don't want to receive. And the reason we don't want to receive is because his job was to turn our hearts back to the word. And what that means is that now we're going to live this word. Amen. Everything God said from Genesis to Revelation, we're not going to just say that's Old Testament. If it's Old Testament, God said it, we still believe it. You know what else Old Testament? The Ten Commandments. It's Old Testament. You still follow the Ten Commandments? What happened in the Garden of Eden? It's Old Testament, right? All those things are Old Testament. We're not separating the old from the new. We take it all. Amen. God ain't changed. It's people that's changing. Don't give heed to seducing spirits. But this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. And what I've been bringing to the young people, we got 43,000 denominations out there in Christendom. 43,000. They actually anticipate in the next couple of years there'll be 45,000. I don't even know how people get started with a new denomination that fast. But God, it was never God's intention for this word to be broke up in so many pieces that we end up with 45,000 different faiths in Christendom. That's a sad situation. Everybody say they believe in the Lord Jesus. But we got 45,000 people believing something different. God never intended for it to be that way. That's why God had to send a prophet to restore the truth back to the people so we can see what it is that God is requiring of us in this hour. That's all this was, church. And, you know, and we're trying to come back to this. We're trying to live this with everything else. And you know what? As we're coming back, there's going to be chorus that rise up, seducing spirits that's going to rise up, and they're going to come against, just like Korah came against Moses, you're going to have people coming against God's prophet today. But you know what? There's also going to be some Calebs and some Joshuas that's going to stay with what Moses said. I'm just saying, I'm one of them. Amen. Amen. I'm staying with it. I don't care how sincere a person may be. I don't care I don't want to be wrong. I mean, people actually can see themselves fulfilling Scripture and can't do nothing to stop themselves from fulfilling. I feel sorry for a person like that. I feel sorry for a person like that. But church, I want to warn you as a shepherd of this house. Don't give heed to those seducing spirits. Paul said it would be here today, and we're seeing it all around us. Don't give heed to a seducing spirit. Let me just read on. Something I want to bring out here about Korah. I believe it was the ignorance of the man that didn't see the hand of God moving and know the Scripture. And that's the reason he just brought it to reasoning. And that's just that's what people are doing today. They're bringing it down to reasoning. Reasoning. Ain't got nothing to do with the revelation. It's reasoning, right? Eve fell because of reasoning. They're going to fall today because of reasoning. Reasoning is the biggest enemy to God. And that's just about 90% of the trouble today that we try to inject into the program of God, our thinking. And we're not supposed to think at all. He does our thinking. We're supposed to surrender our thinking to his will. See, you understand now. Korah, with good intent, went around with a false doctrine, telling these brothers and showing them by reason that God had only blessed Moses, the prophet, the messenger, and had only blessed him, but the whole congregation was holy. He said, and now the whole congregation has a right to do this, and the whole congregation has a right to do that. And so they got good men, Levites. Now, that is God's choice, which would be called today the ministers. Levite was the minister of the temple. Did not Moses call them down for it? And here he never went at it irreverent. He told them to take censers and put holy fire in it and put incense over the top of it and then to wave this holy incense, which was the command of God. And they come up to make a group of men to control the church where God had commanded one man to do so. Now I'm skipping down. Let's see. Hold on one second. Yeah, I'm going to keep reading here. It says, and when they did that, Moses fell on his face, for he knew that God had commissioned him to that work. And God said, have them to bring those censers up here before the tabernacle. And so when they began to wave their censers full of fire and the incense are going, God said to Moses and Aaron, separate yourself from them, come out from them, for later he called them sinners, unbelievers, and sin is unbelief in the word of God. You steal because you don't believe. You lie because you don't believe. You commit adultery because you don't believe. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do such. There's only two roads. That's either faith or unbelief, and you're controlled by one or the other. Now, God in the beginning was the Word, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word. He is the Word. And when God dwells in you, it's the Word of God dwelling in you, where you can punctuate everything he says with an amen. That's God dwelling in you. Now, look at this. Now, if you notice, these innocent men with censers in their hand, holy fire in their hand, God opened up the earth and swallowed them up and separated them from Moses, because Moses separated himself from them. And Moses warned the congregation, don't fool with this kind, with that kind of group. Get away from them. Now, you know the scriptures. Read the 16th, 17th, 18th, even the chapter, and you'll find it. Separate yourself from these sinners, unbelieving sinners. Come out from among them, for they're headed for destruction. And everything that they have, when the earth followed and fell, and with these men holding this holy fire, innocent men deceived by a man. Same today. Now, I want you to try to get this. These innocent men were holding a holy fire, their censers, that was, lit by the fire of God, by the altar of God. Here they're holding it in their hand, but swallowed up in the earth. Let me tell you something. There's going to be people today holding the same word of God, this holy fire of God, right next to their heart, being sincere as they want to be, with a Bible in their hand, but they're still going to miss it. You're talking about seducing spirits. That's pretty bad. Bible in the hand and still miss it. Let me finish this. Oh my God. I got something else I want to share with you. Come out from them, for they're headed for destruction, everything that they have. The earth swallowed fell with these men holding this holy fire. Innocent men deceived by a man. Innocent men deceived by a man. I want you to get that. Innocent men deceived by a man. Same today. There's a many innocent man falling into the trap of tradition, holding the holy word in his hand, and supposedly to be preaching from it. I seen an expression come across a minister's face just then. A Methodist minister was a Methodist minister till last Sunday night. When he looked, I suppose it means a whole lot to you, brother, to be out. See, now, what he's saying is that you got people holding to this, preaching it every Sunday. And most of the people that's turning, walking away, they feel like they're going back to this. And the very thing that they feel like they're going back to is going to be the very thing that destroyed them, because they rejected the parts that God was dealing with. God said he sent a prophet. We reject that prophet, we have to deal with God's terms. And church, you can't reject this word. You can't reject this word. If you're gonna go back to the word, you got to explain Malachi 4. You got to explain Revelation 10. You got to explain Revelation 3. You have to explain those things. Otherwise, we're missing it. We can't take part of the word. We got to have all of the word. Innocent men, census, fire of God, the word of God, died, swallowed up with the earth, because they came against God's prophet Moses in that day. Seducing spirits is what caused them to come into that condition. Guess what? Seducing spirits are going to do the exact same thing today. Be alert, church. Be awake in this hour. I was reading something here, and I'm getting ready to close. The musicians can prepare to come. I was reading something just this week. I happened to go online and I saw this dream that was posted. Sister Rachel, God had given her a dream, and I was just really blessed by what I read. And I want to just kind of share it with you. There's a scripture that was quoted, Joel 3:14. It says, multitudes, multitudes. In the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. No, we can't just be stuck in the valley of decision. We got to make a decision. We got to make a choice. We can't rove. We can't roam. We got to find a place that we can say, this is home. Don't be spiritual vagabonds. She said, tonight I was playing the piano and wrote a song. I recorded as a song, and part of the words consisted of the valley of decision. I went to sleep but left the recording playing on repeat. She says, I had a dream. My dream, destruction was coming. to where I was. It started off small and unnoticeable. Still, I was packing, preparing to leave, because I knew the closer I got, the closer I was to leaving. The closer it got, the closer I was to leaving. As things got worse, I began to run around the house and tell everyone, come on, we have to get ready to go. This place is about to be destroyed. This is the Lord giving our sister a precious dream, right? This place is about to be destroyed. These were all people I knew. I took one person to the window and I showed them how much damage was being done. They said, wow, we have to get out of here. But she did nothing to prepare for it. I spent a large amount of time running around trying to get people to move, but they were too preoccupied, mostly with their phones. When I was about to leave, some got up and tried to leave with me, but then I woke up. See, in the dream, you know, she's trying to get everybody she can to, look, we got to get out of here. And, you know, I think it's our duty to try to get people out. But you know what? I'm going to try to help you get out, but I'm not going to let you make me stay back. I'm going to say it again. I'm trying to help you get out, but I'm not going to allow you to make me stay back. I realize destruction is all around. I got to get ready to leave here. I mean, you got to stand on your own two feet. If husband trying to keep you back, you got to just leave. And I'm not talking about leave the marriage. I'm talking about spiritually, you got to stand on your own two feet. If wife trying to keep you back, you just got to stand on your own two feet. Look, for God I live, for God I die. Children trying to keep you back, I'm sorry. I'm gonna commit you in prayer to God, and I'm just let God take care of it. But I'm not going to let you hold me back. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to come talk to you. But after that, I'm going on. I'm trying to get closer to God to get out of here myself. We have a responsibility to go after our loved ones. But if their conscience is seared with iron, from such turn away. Look at this. She says, the people were preoccupied mostly with their phones. When I was about to leave, some got up and tried to leave with me, but then I woke up. And, you know, after sister had posted this particular dream, you know, somebody else, I think the young lady was out in Arizona, she woke up and she read the post, and she said, she couldn't believe it. But the Lord had given her a dream that same night. It was, I believe, the 26th. Is that right? February 25th, 26th that this happened. And I could tell y'all some things that happened on the very next day after this dream was posted. And I didn't see the dream till last week. But there's some things that happened the very next day that I knew God was speaking in this dream. God trying to get his people ready. And let me tell you the lady's response. She said, wow, I just woke up from a dream this morning where I was standing on the West Coast watching as destruction was slowly coming across the ocean. I knew that I had to save as many people as I could before I went up. There was nothing else on my mind. So as God was giving a sister a dream on the East Coast about destruction, God was also giving somebody else a dream on the West Coast about destruction. Church, we got to get ready to leave here. As we're getting ready to leave, and you know, you all know the story of Lot. Destruction was coming, and as they were preparing to leave, Lot's family was just lingering. Didn't want to do nothing to get ready. We got family right now lingering. I mean, the angels are in the city. Can't you see these people just got blinded? God getting ready to destroy this place. We got to get ready to get out of here. And do you know the scripture promised that before destruction come, God was going to send a messenger? God said he was going to do that. St. Luke 17 said God was going to do that. So Brother Branham happened to be that messenger. Church, God's word has already been fulfilled. Whether we receive it or don't receive it, it's already happened. We got to get ready to get out of here. Will you be ready?
Y'all know that? Y'all know that? Will you be ready? You know, will you be ready? Sure. Yeah, just play the chorus part of that. Will you be ready?
Thank you. That night that these sisters had these dreams, and the Lord allowed me to just kind of go through something, and I ran into a person that used to just walk in this message, and they were, you know, they kind of went into a backslidden state, and It was just totally inappropriate. And as I looked on them that day, I was, you know, my heart just kind of went out to them. I'm like, man, I just kind of sad. But on that same day, I had a conversation with some people that were telling me they were having some struggles with this word. They're just struggling with it. And you know, certainly solicit my prayer, you know, that and even our direction. They're open to just wanting to talk more about it. And I have a responsibility. I got to sit down and just talk to everybody I can. But I tell you what, if your conscience is seared and we find it, no, I just turn away. Because I'm not going to play with Delilah. I'm not going to play with that. Right? But, you know, as I thought about what happened that day later on, you know, I just began to think. I said, you know, my heart was actually more hurt for the people that were struggling with the Word of God, the truth. My heart was more hurt for them than a person that I know just in a backslidden state that I know God can restore. And just like this, God can restore. I know that God can do that. But that person that's actually struggling with believing the truth, believing the Word of God, my heart goes really out to them because this is nothing to play with. You only get one chance with this. Church, we're living in a very, very deceptive hour. Paul said it'd be perilous times. He talked about the deception that will happen in this day of church. We got to be ready. And the only way we can get ready is by knowing the Word of God. Get somewhere where you can know the Word of God. Get into Bible study. Don't play games with this. Look, ain't no television program more important than coming out of the Bible study. And let me tell you something. If you think, you know, I mean, the devil, back in my day, the Cosby Show. Oh, everybody. And the devil loved to put certain shows on certain nights. No, it's the devil. Nothing come on Monday night. Nothing come on Tuesday and Thursday. Nothing. But the nights that we got service, that's when the devil got your favorite program coming on. And you just sit there struggling. Can I tell you something? Ain't going to be no TV in heaven. Cosby Show ain't going to be going to heaven. And just, can I just say these things while I'm here? Cosby Show is supposed to be about some this nice elite family. This is the way family is in America. I mean, this good family. The man that's running the show was not a good family man. And now we all starting to realize that. Church, salvation will not be found in Hollywood. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Nothing more important than your soul. Nothing more important than your soul. My heart goes out for people that having their conscience seared in this hour. People that are ending up like Dathan and Korah. My heart goes out to them, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to reach those. But I tell you what, I can only do so much. But I'm more concerned about me being ready. Church, don't take heed to these seducing spirits. They're in every area of our life. They're seducing spirits trying to pull us off of the Word of God. I encourage you. I beg you. Get closer to Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we realize that this is a very serious hour. Souls are at stake. Lives, God, are dependent on truth. And so many, God, are falling away from truth. Giving heed to seducing spirits, having their conscience seared like a hot iron. Seduction, Lord, just causes so many different, it triggers so many different results. Some of us, we're wandering, we're roving, we just don't know where we are. God, I pray that you would help us to settle ourselves in your word. That we would get, Father, somewhere where we can be established and rooted and grounded in the faith. Lord, the Bible said that they're ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And how many, Lord, are in Bible studies even right now, God, but never really coming to the knowledge of the truth, still teaching three gods, still teaching false baptism, still teaching something wrong that happened in the Garden of Eden, have no clue as to what these things are. These things have been revealed for us to walk in today. But Lord, people are lost. God, I thank you for truth that you've given. I thank you, God, that you've given me ears to hear, eyes to see. Help me, oh God, to walk in that and to walk gracefully in it, Lord, not to ever exalt myself to think that I'm better than somebody else. Lord, it's only your grace that I'm able to see the things that I see in Scripture. You could have chosen any one of the churches in this plaza to reveal these things to, but God, you revealed it to me. And I pray, God, that I would never take it for granted. Lord, my heart is for the people. There's one here today, God, that knows that they're not ready, that if destruction were to strike right now, if Jesus were to come right now, if they know that they would not go back with you, Lord, I pray today that they would make it right in their hearts and in their lives, that they would have a reference point, that they could say, today is the day I heard the word of God and I gave everything I had. God, let today be that day. I want to give opportunity for anyone that, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know that you're not ready to meet God, if he were to come in the next 5 minutes and you know that you're not ready to meet him, you know that you wouldn't go back with him, I want to give you an opportunity just to get right with God. I want you to just lift your hand right where you are, and I want to pray for you. If you're sincere and your heart has been touched by the word of God today, and you say, Lord, I need to be right. I want to be ready. There are some things I got to forsake. There are some friends I got to leave. I can't go back to places I used to go, but Lord, I want to be ready today. I want to make Jesus my choice. If that's you today, I just want you to lift your hand right where you are. Just lift your hand right where you are. God sees hands in this place. Every, underneath that hand is a heart. I know sometimes in church they invite you to come to the front, and I'm not going to do that today. I mean, we've had that happen over the years. But today, rather than come to the front, I just want you to surrender your heart right there, and I just want you to talk in your own special way. God, I need more of you. I need to be ready. I need to be ready, God. I need to be ready. Lord, I'm a sinner. Just talk to him. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I repent right now of my sins. Now, I recognize that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. Lord, I accept the sacrifice that you made, the sacrifice that you gave at the cross for my sins. I accept that right now. I identify myself with that sacrifice. And Father, I ask that you would come into my heart and you would make a difference in me. Just talk to the Lord in that way. Just be sincere. And amen. And you can go back in your mind years down the road and say, I made a commitment to the Lord that Sunday morning. Father, you saw the hands that were lifted in this place. God, you saw every hand that was lifted. I'm praying for these that lifted their hands. God, I'm asking that you would just make the difference in their hearts even right now. Oh, God, as they lifted up surrendering, lifting our hands, it's an act of surrender to you, Jesus. And God, as we surrender to you, Lord, we forsake our way. We forsake our thoughts. We forsake, Lord, just the things of this world. And we turn to the things of God. Father, we ask that you would come into every heart right now, God. And Lord, that you would cleanse them and wash them and make them clean. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, Father, would just give them a personal relationship with you. Some of the things that had to be spoken today, God, is so you can get people's attention. Destruction is at hand. God, you want us to be ready. If there are relationships that need to be broken, I pray that you break the power of the enemy within those relationships, God. Whatever it is that's hindering your people from walking closer to you, may they not give heed to seducing spirits. God, I commit each one into your hands right now as a trophy of this sermon today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus comes, will you be ready? When Jesus, oh, will you be ready? When Jesus comes, will you be ready? When Jesus comes, will you be ready? Oh, when Jesus comes, now will you be ready? When Jesus, when he comes, oh, will you be ready? When Jesus comes, oh, when Jesus comes, I want to know, will you be ready? When Jesus comes, when Jesus comes, when Jesus comes, oh, will you be ready? Ready when Jesus comes, oh, will you be ready? Ready when Jesus, oh, when Jesus comes, oh, will you be ready? Ready when Jesus comes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be ready, Father. We want to be found ready, God, when you come. We're living in the coming of the Lord even right now. You promised a shout, a voice, and a trump. A shout is the message as it goes forth, and that message has been going forth for a number of years now, God. Father, that same voice that called Lazarus from the grave is the same voice that will call our loved ones from the grave. And they'll rise. And God, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain, God, will be caught up together to meet them in the air. And Father, that trump that calls us out, Father, this earth is the same trump that calls the children of Israel back to the feast. So Lord, help us to be ready, God. Help us to be ready. We want to be ready. We want to be ready, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, to walk in Jerusalem like John. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, to walk in Jerusalem like John. Praying to be ready. Praying to be ready. Oh, praying to
to be ready. I'm praying to be ready. I want to walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, help me to walk in Jerusalem like John. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, to walk in Jerusalem like John.
Come on, praying to be ready.
Praying to be ready. Oh, I'm praying to be ready. I'm praying to be ready to walk in Jerusalem like John. I'm gonna walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. Yes, I want to be ready. I want to walk in Jerusalem like John. God, help me to walk in Jerusalem like John. So I'm praying to be ready. Yes, I'm praying. Oh, I pray, let me be ready. Father, I want to walk in Jerusalem like John. Yes, I am. I'm gonna walk in Jerusalem like John. I'm gonna walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, I plan to walk in Jerusalem like John.
Hallelujah.
Help me to walk, Jesus. Oh, God.
Church, I encourage you, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Don't give heed to the seducing spirits. Somebody might tell you, don't take all that. Yes, it take all that and more. It take all that and more. We got to be perfect before God. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, that be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. We got to walk perfectly before God. Help me to be ready. Oh God, help me to be ready. Help me to be ready to walk in Jerusalem like John. Oh, to walk in Jerusalem like John. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. Oh, God, I want to walk in Jerusalem. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh let the sun go down on me, Jesus. Don't let the sun go down on me, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I just want to draw closer to you, Jesus. I want to draw closer to you, Jesus. I want to forget about the things of this world. God, I want to draw closer to you, Jesus. Just to be close to you, Jesus, is my desire. Oh, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Praise you for your word. It spoke to our hearts here today, God. Seducing spirits all through the land, but help us, God, to be wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let us be wise, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just want to just worship him just a little bit. The song says, just to be close to you. Oh God, this is my desire. Just to be close to you. Oh, just to be close to you. Is my desire. Is my desire. Oh God, just to be close to you. Come on, sing with all your heart. Just to be close to you. I don't want to walk from afar. I want to walk close to you, Jesus. It's my desire. Is my desire. Is my desire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give him praise in this place. Oh God, we want to be close to you. We want to be close to you, Jesus. I don't want to follow from afar, but draw me near to where you are, Jesus. God, I pray that you bless the saints. They heard the word of God today. May we leave here with a desire, God, to want to draw closer to you. Yes, there are seducing spirits in the land. Paul said it. It's prophecy. It's prophecy for this last day. God, as we just tried to take some of the natural types, Samson and Delilah, Tamar and Amnon, Eve in the Garden of Eden, God, we've been trying to bring it over and show how, Lord, those natural things, though they were bad, but it's worse, God, spiritually. And Korah, and what he got caught up with that false revelation that he had, it led to his destruction. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God, today there are people getting caught up in false interpretation, false understanding of the word of God, and Father, it's going to lead to death. God, before destruction is at hand, we want to warn everybody. Let's draw closer to Jesus. Let's draw closer to Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. We want to draw closer to you, Father. Bless us now as we prepare to leave this place, but not your presence. May we meditate and truly think about the things that were spoken to our hearts today. You knew every person that would be here, and you knew the word that you would have for each one. I pray, God, that we receive. I pray that we would receive today, Jesus. I pray, God, that our hearts will be open to receive truth. And even as we share this with others, Lord, Father, may you just take us deeper in this thought of seducing spirits. God, we pray it in Jesus' name. Bring us back at the appointed time on Wednesday night as we come together once more. And Lord, also as we prepare for Pentecost Palms, go with us, go before us, Lord Jesus. Pray that you just bless, God, all that we set our hands to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You can be seated. One of the other things I forgot to mention to you earlier, amen, during this season, right before Easter, we encourage everyone to find some time in a way, amen, that you could just fast and stay before the Lord. There are so many other ways, so many things that you can do in fasting, amen. It's whether modifying your diet. I'm actually doing the Daniel fast, which modifies my diet, not eating meats and sweets and things of that nature, but eating, you know, more vegetables and things of that nature. I'm fasting some things in technology, games that I like to play on my phone. I don't want to be so busy on my phone, like the dream was saying, that we miss what God is doing this hour. So there's so many ways. Some like to fast until 3 o'clock, some to 12 o'clock. In the day, and some just fast their dinner at night or whatever. But find a way that you can just fast, amen, and just dedicate some time to the Lord, maybe spending that and reading the Bible and praying or just listening to some messages or whatever you can do. Just spend time with the Lord Jesus. And we're asking that you would do that from now until Easter Sunday. And, you know, now Easter Sunday, the fast will be broken. Amen. But we encourage you to do so in some way. Whatever you can do for the Lord, amen, we encourage you to do that. Amen. God richly bless you. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. Again, we thank God for Jonathan. We also thank God for the other couple, amen, that came in, amen, to be with us. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you.